morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everybody here to Center. Any guests we have, a special welcome to you and also to our longtime friends. It's just good to see you all here today. We are going to begin our service by standing and singing hymn 114, Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Thank you so much for your wonderful grace that reaches each and every one of us. Thank you for such a beautiful song and all the voices that lift these words up to you. Lord, open all our hearts and our minds and just be with each and every person here as they face the week and just be able to show your love to everyone that encounters them. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. We'll take a moment and look at our bulletin at some of the announcements. If there are any announcements to add.
Just an update from yesterday's blood drive. It was in honor by our wonderful Deanne Venable. We had 26 pints of good red stuff taken from wonderful victims. I mean, wonderful victims. I was one of them and survived the first time, so I'm going to tell about it, so does Justin. But we had a great time. It was just a lot of fun, a lot of laughing. The staff was really good from the Community Blood Center of the Carolinas. They had a good time. But we saved 78 lives yesterday in 4 hours. So one pint saves three can save three lives, and we've saved up to 78 people yesterday in 4 hours. It was just truly a blessing to see the spirit of giving and just the fellowship and the fun we had. Even the people that are outside the center came and gave, and it was just a wonderful time. So we'll be doing that again. Thank you.
No, we won't.
Trying hard not to say anything about if I have to hear one more thing about how awful giving blood is, but I'm proud of him for doing it. So it was a good day, good morning. So yes, it was a good morning. It was good.
I don't typically read from my cell phone, but I sent a text out yesterday after Leanne and I arrived here, and I heard some of the stories, particularly Justin's. So I sent him a text. It said, "Leanne and I would like to thank you for the courage and strength you have exhibited in giving blood earlier today. We're up at center right now and have heard the amazing stories of your heroism." It's true. You thought being a state trooper was tough. Okay. We do appreciate it and appreciate everyone who gave, but also everyone who supported and this meeting for your encouragement and support all the time. Are there other announcements that need to be made this morning?
I have CD, so if you checked the schedule for your kids or grandkids or neighbors or friends or whoever could possibly come to Bible school and you know that they can come that day, get with me and I'll be happy to pass them a super fun CD to be learning our songs. And if you'll keep checking your calendar and see who's available to help, because I'm going to start making some phone calls about some helpers, just to let you know. Thank you.
Certainly appreciate all Lindsay's effort with Vacation Bible School. That is coming up August 3rd through the 5th, and so we encourage all of you can to support that and to help as teachers or leaders or making food or however it may be that you can best help. Don't forget, this evening is Ministering Council and Christian Ed, both at 5 o'clock, so we encourage those members to be here for that those meetings. Anyone else? If not, if the ushers will come forward, we will receive our morning offerings. Shall we pray together? Gracious and loving God, we are mindful of your blessings to us. We are mindful of your presence, your peace, your grace, your love that's with us each and every day. We pray that you would help us to be good stewards of all that you've given to us. Help us to be faithful with our gifts, sharing them with this meeting and with others around us. We pray that as we receive these offerings today, that they might be used for your glory and for your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Well, it was fun. I've used a bunch of different sponges this week. I have been cleaning sinks, tubs, and floors, and toilets. You know what you do with a dirty sponge. But all those sponges and all that cleaning made me think of something that I've heard since I was a little girl. Kids are sponges. Do y'all look like a sponge? Kids are sponges, they soak up everything. So I was going to ask you this morning, have you ever heard that before? Have you ever been called a sponge? No, I haven't. All right, well, how many of you try to imitate your brothers, your sisters, your parents, your friends, or the things that you see or that they do that you would like to do too? Yeah, like the way they talk, or what they do, or where they go, or how they act. So you're soaking up all those actions and words and places just like a sponge does. Well, today, now another key thing today is we cannot make a mess from this baby, okay? So, and that's what we're going to try not to do. The first jug I have is the jug of good influences. So these are things that this is good clean water, and this is things that you want to imitate and you want to copy. So what are some things that you would like to do that are nice to do and things that are good to do? How about being kind and sharing with your friends? Did y'all say please and thank you? I got a white crowd this morning. We're landing. And as you're being kind and doing all these things, and then other things like going to church and reading the Bible and listening to Bible stories, obeying God and saying your prayer, maybe Bible story. And I love this one, obey your parents and treat them with respect. That's a nice thing. Be honest and tell the truth. And there's all kinds of clubs that you can join and go with friends and maybe they help their neighbors and their community. Now, did that sponge change color? No. That's nice and clean. It stays clean. It's not dirty. These are all good things that keep you close and get you closer to God. Have you ever heard the word no? Now, I know you need a God on that. No. Like, oh, no, you don't need to watch that movie. No, you don't need to see this TV show. Sometimes your parents or your grandparents or other people are telling you no. They just want to surround you with good influences and have you have like this be everything be clean and clear and be closer to God. Well, guess what's next? There's good. And then we have the jug of, that's wrong, don't spill it. Bad influences. See a little difference there? This one's dark. This one's black. That's right. These are the things that you don't want to do. Okay, what are some things that you don't want to do? You don't want to disobey. You want to make sure that you obey your parents. You don't want to disobey your parents.
Lie.
That's right. So, being selfish, you don't want, that's the thing of things that you don't want to be doing. You don't want to lie, and you don't want to go along with the crowd just because everybody else is doing it. So, if you do all that, what happened to that sponge? Oh, it changed, and it's dirty. And these are the kind of things that take you away from God. So, like that sponge that's full of clean water, it doesn't have any room for anything else to get in. It's full of clean water. You can't put the dirty water. There's no room for the dirty water. So you want to fill yourself up with God's word and all these good influences until you're just about to bust, and then you will have the faith, the wisdom, and the courage to say no instead of your parents or your grandparents to the temptations and the bad influences. And there's no room for them in your life. Let's say a little prayer.
Thank you, Rhonda. Rhonda probably spent some time this week preparing that for that children's sermon, and she probably said to Charlie, I need two big buckets of for water, and I've got these two big buckets of cheese balls. Was your job to eat the cheese balls out of there? Oh, did they? Okay. Thank you, Rhonda. Appreciate that. This time we'll enter into a time of prayer for one another. Are there prayer concerns you would like to share this morning? In fact, I have one. Forgot to grab my sheet. Amanda Hodgen has asked us to pray for her sister. Her sister Elizabeth, who is in Guatemala on a mission trip. As most of you know, there have been a serious volcanic eruptions in Guatemala and a lot of catastrophe and death. And so she is on a higher elevation, but not too far from that location, working in an orphanage. So be in prayer for Amanda Hodgen's sister, Elizabeth Bonkowski, and her work as she is there. But she arrived this week in Guatemala, so be in prayer for her. She's there on a short-term mission trip. Are there others? We've been in prayer for several weeks for Imogene and Ricky and Roger's aunt Louise. And she did pass away a couple of days ago. I think her funeral service is today in Sparta. So be in prayer for the Hatchell family as in the passing of their aunt Louise. I will ask you to be in prayer for me. I spent about 2 weeks with a severe cold, and it's finally started to get better. And last weekend I was feeling pretty good, and then Sunday evening I started getting a scratchy throat again, and started coming down with a bad cold again, and finally went to the doctor and was told I have pneumonia. But I'm on the mend. I'm on antibiotic and steroids. So if you see me sweating, it's not that it's hot in here. It's just that I'm. I do appreciate your continued prayers. Others. Okay. That certainly is and speaking of Quaker Lake staff, it's good to have Junior here with us this morning. He's back at Quaker Lake again for the summer, just finished up his first semester of his junior year. So we are glad Junior's with us today as well. Continued prayers for him and continuing his education and working at Quaker Lake this summer. Others? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Loving and gracious God, we are mindful of these requests that have been mentioned this morning. We also know that our prayer list is full of concerns and needs that have been expressed previously. So we are just mindful of everyone on our prayer list and just pray that your hand would be upon those individuals, that you would give them strength and health and grace and peace, even now. We remember this morning Amanda Hodgen's sister, Elizabeth, who has given of her time to go and to work in an orphanage in Guatemala. Lord, I know that this trip for her has been planned for a long time, but now she arrives in the midst of chaos and turmoil and pain and suffering. So we just pray that you would help her, first of all, that you would keep her safe, that you would bring her home safely and securely to her family. But we pray for her time in Guatemala, that you might use her as an instrument of your peace and healing. We pray for all of those victims, that tragic situation, for because we know of the lives that were lost and the suffering that has taken place. So we just pray that in the midst of that, in the midst of that pain, that your presence might be felt and recognized and drawn upon. We remember the Hatchells, Aunt Louise, and I know she's been in and out of the hospital over the last several weeks and has struggled and passed away just a few days ago. So we pray for that family. Give them peace in the midst of their loss. Even today as they are there for her funeral service, be with them comfort them in their time of loss and grief. We are mindful, Lord, of kids getting out of school and anxious and excited about summer activities. We pray that you would help them all to have good summers, safe, we're just give you thanks for our teachers and all the hard work that they do throughout the year. And as school is coming to a close, that you would give them a sense of a purpose and accomplishment for all that they've done. We remember this morning the Quaker Lake staff, the staff that is now at camp and will be working with and ministering to children and youth throughout the summer. So we just pray for them. We pray that you would draw them together and draw them to yourself, that you would help them to establish a good bond, to work together and to minister together. May you continue to bless Quaker Lake. We thank you for Heather and Jeff and the entire leadership team there at Quaker Lake. We just pray your blessings upon them for a good summer, a safe summer, and a summer where people learn and grow in your love and grace. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Often on the rolling tide,
Jesus saves.
Before I begin my scripture reading, I'll just let you know that I will, over the next few weeks, be working through part of the Gospel of John, the I Am statements. So over the course of the summer, when I am here to speak with you, I will be sharing through the Gospel of John with the statements that Jesus makes, describing himself and in the context of those I Am statements. Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 32 through 40. John 6, 32 through 40. I believe that can be found on page 1658 in your pew Bibles. Verse 32 begins, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' They said to him, 'Sir, give us this bread always.' Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me, I will never drive away. For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." I want to share with you an early love. Before Leanne, and it continues to this day, I love bread. It started as a young boy when Mom would make her homemade buttermilk biscuits. She could make a great biscuit. And I would sometimes awaken on Saturday morning with the smell of bacon cooking and eggs, and I would get up and I would know that she would also have in the oven a pan of those biscuits. And usually with those biscuits was a little gravy, and I would take those biscuits, usually two of them, and I would crumble them up into a little mound on my plate, and I would pour gravy all over those biscuits and allow that gravy just to sop into those biscuits. I'm sorry, you're probably hungry. There was nothing better on a Saturday morning than to wake up at 10 o'clock and I was 13. What do you expect? But that was the beginnings of my love affair with bread. It continues to this day. As we go out to a nice restaurant and you sit down, I love when they come, before they bring your food, they bring you a basket of bread for you to sit and start with. It's a great start. I love when I come to center and there's a carry-in or a senior luncheon, and always at the end of that table is a basket of Kay's bread, and I usually grab two pieces the first time. It's a love affair that I think many of us have. But while that message today relates to bread, as Jesus describes himself as the bread of life, the reality is it's about so much more. You see, the passage that I read this morning isn't just about food. It's about who Jesus claims to be and what Jesus is and can be for each of us. Jesus makes this first self-designation in the Gospel of John: I am the bread of life. And this morning I want us to look at who Jesus claims to be and our barrier in responding to this claim. And finally, the things that Jesus wants us to know and to believe and to do. Jesus described himself as the bread of life. In our passage, he says simply that, I am the bread of life. But to understand that, we have to understand a little bit more of the context of this passage. We need to understand a little bit of the background. And there are stories that precede this encounter that we are all familiar with. You see, John chapter 6 begins with Jesus feeding the 5,000. He takes a few loaves of bread and fish, and he performs a miracle by multiplying them so that everybody there has plenty to eat. Then after he's fed them, he sends his disciples across the Sea of Galilee. But Jesus at that time does not cross with them. They go over in a boat, and he chooses to do what only he could do. He walked across the sea in the middle of the night. Two amazing miracles performed, some in front of a large crowd of people, another in sight of his disciples and other followers. So the next day, that crowd of 5,000 people who had been fed, who had been provided that miracle, had gone to bed that night with full stomachs, and they wake up to find that the disciples and Jesus are gone. And so they realize he must have gone to the other side. So they begin to cross themselves and track him down. John 6, verse 24 tells us that they were seeking Jesus. They were seeking the individual that had performed this miracle, this feeding of 5,000 people. Now that sounds good, but when they find him, Jesus' response is not necessarily what you would expect. He doesn't commend them for traveling across the sea to find him. Rather, he chides them for seeking him because they are not, in reality, seeking him. Rather, they are excited about the bread that he gave them, and they're foolishly seeking more of the same. They are seeking for their stomachs to be filled again. They are seeking for those things that are perishable. But Jesus is concerned that they seek that which is eternal, that which does not decay. Jesus, as a good and loving shepherd, says to them, do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. Jesus is saying to them, the reality is what you're after and what you're seeking and what you're most interested in is too small. You're seeing too small of a picture. Because those things will disappear. Certainly it's good to have a full stomach when you went to bed last night, but you should labor for the food that sustains you forever. You should work toward and seek that which will always sustain you. You see, he gave them nourishment and sustenance, but it was temporary. They're hungry again. So this conversation leads the Jews and the crowd to bring up the bread that God supplied from heaven to the Israelites in the wilderness. And so they say, well, God provided this manna. Moses provided this manna. It would fall from the sky and land on the ground 6 out of 7 days. And our ancestors would eat it. Certainly, it was another amazing and miraculous provision. But that bread was also temporal. They would go out and they would collect it. And they would eat what they could, but eventually that bread would begin to decay and mold. So Jesus is saying, as the crowd approaches him again after having been fed the day before, that there is a bread that can surpass what I used to feed the 5,000. There is a food that you can eat that surpasses even the manna that fell from the sky. And that is what is worth seeking. That is what's worth coming to find and to receive, is a food that endures, a nourishment, a strength, a faith that stands the test of time. Jesus said to them, whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. Whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. But the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die, I am that living bread that came down from heaven. You can almost envision Jesus pointing to himself. This is the bread that came down from heaven. He not only gives us this bread, he is the bread. That's a bold declaration to that group of seekers. He's pointing to himself and saying, I am the bread that you must eat. I am what will sustain your life. C.S. Lewis famously said that Jesus, as we hear these statements of Jesus and these proclamations about himself, we basically can come to three conclusions. One is that Jesus is either Lord, he is a lunatic, or he is a liar. They're bold statements because it's a transforming message. It's a message of good news and of hope. Certainly we know that bread is the most basic of human needs. It's a fundamental part of daily life. It provides nourishment, sustenance, and vitality. We pray, give us this day our daily bread. Why? Because we need it. Our souls need Christ. He is the very food our souls crave. They remain famished and dying apart from him. Anything else is just empty calories. He alone is the answer to our spiritual cravings. We often see, and as you read throughout Scripture, there are ways that food is used as representing our faith. For example, when Passover was celebrated by the Jews each year, it was a ritual of faith. They sat down and ate the lamb that had been sacrificed and was sitting on their table. They consumed this provision that had been made for them. It was an act of faith. There had been a sacrifice made for them to atone for their sins, pointing towards Christ Jesus to come, and that God was the deliverer. As we hear this message of Jesus, who wouldn't want to partake of this bread? Who wouldn't want to come to such a table and feast? But for some, there is a barrier that prevents us from doing this very thing. We see it in the passage. It's a barrier which is wide and high and deep, which we erect ourselves, and which is hard to pull down. It's the barrier of pride. The Jews in the passage are eaten up with pride. They say, What must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus tells them about this bread. You can't earn a gift, but their response is, what must we do? We want this gift. The reality is we come and receive this gift through grace. Through God's grace. And we have to set aside our pride and our selfishness and our self-interest. And we must come to Christ in humility and brokenness. And that's how we partake of the bread. Recognizing that we are broken and we need the bread of life in our lives. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 1 says, come everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. As the people respond to Jesus' message, in the passage that I read. It is enough just for them to believe in Jesus. They want more proof before they do anything. So they say to him, "Then what sign will you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" It's pretty ironic, I think. They are following him and seeking him because he's just performed these incredible miracles. And yet they say, "Do something else. Show us another trick. Find another way to impress us so that we might believe." But the message is Christ is completely different. Over and over in the passage, he says, "I came down. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. I am the bread that came down from heaven." He came down from heaven because we could not ascend there. God loves us so much that he came from heaven so that we might feast upon him, upon that bread of life, and live forever. It is the most generous and the most miraculous example of grace, of a gift, and a gift that we receive through faith. We know that we all have tasted, and everything else is dull in comparison to once you have experienced that relationship and that communion and tasted of that living bread. Everything else is without spice or sweetness or flavor in comparison to Christ. He satisfies our appetites. He fills us. And yet we want to be filled even more because God is indeed good. He is that one necessary thing in our lives. "Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." What a promise. Whatever our spiritual need, whatever our adversity, whatever our difficulty and pain in life, whether we are impoverished, no matter how great or weak or wayward, no matter what our condition, Christ is enough. Christ is all that we need. He is sufficient. No matter our spiritual failings. It's like the manna that covered the ground in the wilderness, or like the feeding of the 5,000. There was bread left over after that feeding. So it is with Christ. There is more than enough to meet our needs, to satisfy our hungers. We are forever satisfied in the shelter of God's presence. No longer hungry, no longer thirsty or wandering. And I'll just close with a verse from Psalm 34. The psalmist says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Come and let us eat this bread of life forever."
Thank you, Terry. Let us close this morning by singing hymn 84, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, verses 1 and 4.
Loving gracious God, we thank you for our time together. We thank you that you indeed are the bread of life. You give us the nourishment and the sustenance that we need each and every day. May we draw upon you in faith and in humility. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Don't be offended if I don't shake your hand.